Let us prepare our hearts for scripture reading. Please meditate on the word as I read. Today's word is from Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters, please be seated. Let's welcome Pastor YC for the word today.
Good afternoon, church. The time flies and we are entering the second last month of this year. As we enter into November, many of you know that this is the month for mission for our church. So the next, from today onwards until the next few weeks, the whole month of November, we'll be touching on the topic of mission in our pulpit. Someone says that the currency of mission is life and soul. So since life and soul are so critical, so what is life to you? What is life like? You know, sometimes life is so complex and mysterious, it's very hard for us to define. We can only describe the particularity of life, certain aspect of it. For each one of us, probably we'll see it slightly differently. Okay, so what is life like? The popular saying by William Shakespeare, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely player." We say we are not so artistic as Shakespeare. So, ordinary people, what do you think? He said, life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you wish, but you only spend it once. You only pass your sweet 18 once, and then it becomes sweet 19, and sweet 21, and sweet 35, right? The next one is that life is like a camera. Focus on what is important. Capture the good time. Develop from the negatives, all right? And if things don't work out, just take another shot. Since now you don't need to develop, right? There's no negative to develop now, actually. And I like this one. He said, life is like a book. What matters is how good it is and not how long it is. Some of you probably have read books, very interesting book, but very thin, maybe just less than 100 pages, but it's very interesting and very enriching than some very boring, long book, right? So it's not so much of the length, but what is the content of the book? If I ask you, what is life like to you, if you to describe it? For me, I thought of life as a storybook with four writers. You are probably the first writer, I, and then because you live your life with your own choices and freedom, and then the second writer is others, right? Your family, friends, and even stranger can add lines and paragraph in your story. The third is the devil. Now, the devil who likes to write with black ink, all right? And even color our pages dark. So what did he do? He wrote all the nasty things that we have done. He writes in our books our mistakes, our bad decision, our stupid action, our shame, our fear. And he loved to conclude after the pages that we are terrible, we are hopeless, we are shameful, we are dirty, we are bad, we are unworthy. And after the pages, and we are unworthy and beyond correction and salvation. And at the same time, sometimes it can be very crafty. Instead of telling you the negative, he may be telling you the fake positive. He will tell you that, you know, that he could get crafty in telling us that we are okay and strong when we are really hurting and crumble inside. At the same time, he can tell us that we are so good and self-sufficient and therefore needs no help. And we should really enjoy the world and pamper ourselves with all the good things in life since life is short. And then, there this fourth writer is God. God writes very differently from the rest of the writers. And today I want to share with you from the gospel, and we shall see it now and know what God is writing in the individual life that he encounters. And we can be a follower and a learner of him. So let's begin. Today I shall take you through the whole chapter of Matthew 9. All right? The whole chapter Matthew 9. What we read is just the last part of the chapter 9. But the story begins with verse 1. Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. There's a stage set. And what happened next? Immediately after that, from verse 2 to verse 8, Jesus forgave and heals a paralyzed man. What happened there? When Jesus returned to his town, there was a paralyzed man, probably paralyzed since birth, right? And then his friend knew about it. He said, hey, come, I bring you to this miracle healer, or Jesus. Probably they heard of Jesus. Jesus came from their hometown. So Jesus became very, very popular at that time. So he brought this lame man, this paralyzed man, and then Jesus actually healed him. Okay, so when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Then verse 6, he says that, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take up your mat and go home. So to the paralyzed man, this day is a very special day. The storyline, which is repetitive all the many years before, suddenly at this juncture, the storyline of his life story changed because Jesus was in a sin. What did Jesus do? Jesus gave him hope. Probably at the beginning, he think that, oh, his friend Kyung Kong, hey, come, I bring you, I bring you to Jesus. Perhaps Jesus can heal you. Maybe with this glimpse of you approach Jesus. But Jesus had mercy. Jesus not just forgive this person, Jesus actually healed this person. Now, we know that in the belief of in the Israelites or in the Judean, the Hebrews, what they believe that if someone have very severe sickness, especially like paralyzed or this very bad severe sickness, is very, very likely or if not equal to God's punishment. So if this man is paralyzed, means he has some hidden sin that probably the world won't know, but God know and God punish him. Now, Jesus is actually, you realize the whole sequence, Jesus doesn't cause this man to walk and then forgive. Jesus forgive, then ask this man to walk. Do you ever wonder why? If all Jesus are just, I'll tell you this, I explain this. But Jesus is telling people, you guys believe that this person who's been paralyzed is because of his sin? If truly what you believe is true, even I have the power to forgive. But answer that, it's not even true. But even if it is true, I have the power to forgive. So the forgiveness comes first. And then say, which is easier? You think which is easier? To walk or to forgive sin? But I will show both to you. And take up your mat and walk and go home. So to this man, it's a life changing. There will be people in lives, friends that we know, that we can encounter. They cannot walk. Their life is crippled due to whatever reason. Can be their own sin, can be some issues of life that they cannot get over. But God say, I'm coming to this world to forgive sin and you can walk again. This is the life story that written in the life book of this paralyzed man. The second one, the calling of Matthew 9 to 13 verses. And Matthew was a tax collector. We know that tax collector, nobody likes them because what they do, they overcharge, they overtax them and take the money, put in their pocket. So tax collector are very rich. They say Zacchaeus, also the tax collector, say what? Whoever that cheated, I pay them back 4 times. Wow. You take 1,000, you pay 4,000. Very rich. The tax collector are very rich. But it says here, but when the Pharisees saw this, when Jesus came, and he called Matthew, come, follow me. And Matthew literally left the station and then followed Jesus. And then not just that, Matthew invited Jesus to his house for dinner. And then the Pharisee observed and said that when the Pharisee saw this, he said to the disciple, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Let me ask you, does Matthew know that he's a sinner? I'm sure he knows, because he did all the wrong thing. And he probably don't have true friends. All the friends come after him probably because of money. Because of money, we are friends. Not because of anything. Right? So he's quite lonely in a sense. And he's being rejected by his own kind. The people don't like him. But at that particular juncture, he received mercy. Jesus, he heard of Jesus, I'm sure. If you take care of tax collection in the area, in a city, I'm sure he heard of Jesus. Jesus' name has been very popular already. You know? So they know Jesus. And Jesus come one day and say, come, follow me. Huh? Me? Why me? Why not other people? Why me? I'm a tax collector. Doesn't he know I'm a tax collector? I did so many things wrong. Am I worthy to follow Jesus? Jesus said, come, follow me. So he actually accepted. A lot of people get rejected. And as a result, they have very low self-esteem. They think that they will never deserve any good thing that happened in their life. I don't deserve a good marriage. I don't deserve a good family. I don't deserve a good life. I don't deserve anything. It's like you put the own curse on yourself because know that you're bad. Christ come to accept him and restore the dignity. How does he restore the dignity? Nobody will be your friend. Nobody want to be your friend. Nobody want to eat with you. I eat with you. I will come to your house and be your guest tonight. God, restore the dignity. And not just that, come and follow me. In other words, Jesus is telling them, the world does not want you, but I want you. The world may forsake you, but I never forsake you. I want you. That's what gospel is about. I remember in my first year in Trinity Theological College, there was one class, the teacher asked all of us to answer a question. In less, maximum 10 words, what is the essence of gospel? How do you share the gospel? What is the essence of gospel? In less than 10 words, maximum 10 words, so everyone come up with their own result. So I also came up with my own. So my answer is, God loves you and he wants you back. That's the gospel. That's Matthew's story. God loves you and he wants you back. Come, follow me. That is the life story of Matthew. And then he talked about the old and the new parable. Jesus do a lot of teaching. Because why did Jesus need to say this? Because they will try to compete things. Say, hey, Pharisees say, our disciple, we fast. Because that is necessary. Because in order to please God, we have to follow the law to the dot. Why aren't your disciples fast? How are you going to get favor from God if you don't fast? Jesus said, no need. Because God is going to do a new thing. And the new thing has come, which is Jesus. And this is kind of veiled at the time. So they cannot quite understand. Just like today sometime, you may listen to some truth and you may not quite understand. But nevertheless, it was being said. Just like what your parent told you many years ago, you don't quite understand. One day, just, ding, you understand. Like my daughter, like that. Now become mother, you understand. Understand. Before that, don't quite get it. Now you get it. Okay? It is the new because it's of grace. It's not just of keeping the law, fasting and regimental lifestyle. No. And then God is going to do a new thing. Something new wine into new wineskin. And follow on immediately, Jesus healed a sick woman. Okay, in other gospel, this woman was having this issue of blood for 12 years. Then he spent all the money having and cannot get healed and come to Jesus. And this woman was thinking to herself, say, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. If only I can touch his cloak, I will be healed. And Jesus turned and saw her and said, take her daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that very moment. So what does this woman get? He gets healing. How many of us, how many people that you know are hurting inside? They have some disease that cannot be healed and they need healing. And Jesus is there to heal them. And he's being cleansed. The issue of blood was deemed unclean in the eyes of law. So she cannot go to the temple to worship God. And because she's unclean, nobody can come close to you and touch you. If the clean touch you unclean, the clean become unclean. If I'm unclean, I cannot go for my Sabbath celebration in the church, in the synagogue. So even though he lives among the people, he's isolated. Do you feel sometimes you're very lonely in crowded places? This woman probably has the same feeling. Yeah, I live in this city, but I'm very lonely. But God clean him, God restore him, and have this new hope. I'm clean again. I thought it was hopeless, but it was clean again. 23, verse 23, 26, he says that Jesus raises a dead girl. There's one family, the girl passed away. Don't know why, didn't explain why. So the baron brought Jesus, said, come, see what you can do. And Jesus raised the little child, 12 years old girl, back to life again. What did he say? God can turn something that's dead into life. He's a life giver. New wine into new wineskin. He's a life giver. Do you see people that are living but actually dead inside? They are dead to their dream. They are dead to aspiration. They are dead to any good. They're just driftwood, we call it. They are like driftwood. Okay, that's the term. Drift along in life. I'm 18, next year I'm 19, 10 years later I'm 29. And this is driftwood, life. Right? So, but you realize that God gives us this new life and then it brings great joy to the family. Imagine from death to life. What a joy, what a comfort that God brings. And Jesus go and write into the story of the family life book, say that joy, life, comfort into their book. And continue on, Jesus healed the blind. The blind heard of Jesus are here. Jesus is here. So they went to Jesus and say, Jesus, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. You find that in this particular case, Jesus sounds a bit reluctant. Then when he came into the house, quite indoor, the blind man came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you come to me? Do you believe that I can do this? They say, yes, Lord, they reply. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Today the Lord can be saying the same thing to all of us. Do you believe that I can do this? I can turn your life. Do you believe that this service can be filled with people? Do you believe that God can use you to bless nations? Do you believe that God can use you to cause something that's impossible to happen? Do you believe? Do you believe? According to your faith, let it be done to you. And you realize that God really had mercy. It's a little bit like the woman. If only I can touch his cloak, I will be healed. God has mercy on him. God opened his eye, he can see. Many of us, or not many of us, there are people that in this world who cannot see, cannot truly see. The Bible says that those who do not know Christ, their eyes are blinded by the God of this world. They are blinded. But God's light, true light, is able to open our eyes to see. The first song that we sang, Kai Wo Dei Yan Jing. Yes, God open our eyes that we may see, that we may know that he is the only true God. There's no other name given under heaven that we should be saved except in Jesus' name. And that's it. Not any other idols. And then the faith. Imagine you ask and it's given to you. You ask and it's given to you. Does it build your faith up? I always remind all of us and remind myself, each time you pray, do you believe in prayer? Does prayer changes anything? Does prayer changes anything? Or we just come here to just doing lip service, pray, and don't quite believe what we say? Do you believe prayer changes things? Do you believe that your petition actually reach all the way to the heavenlies? And God listen, and he will answer. Do you believe that? And now he need not to live in darkness anymore. He live in the light. They say all they who are saved are called the children of light. We are the children of light. Our eyes are open and we live in light. Not just healing the blind, he also healed the mute. How many of us, you have words, you have emotion, you have a lot of things in your heart, grief, pain, anger, that you cannot voice out to anyone. There's no one in this world that you can really, really pour your heart out. But they don't understand. Just that they don't understand how the mute, using the sign language, to explain. But God come and God healed because they were oppressed, were possessed, demon possessed. Today you may be oppressed by your own grief. You are not able to express yourself. There's something deep in you. You don't feel like talking to your DGL. You don't feel like talking to the pastor. You don't feel like talking to anyone in this world, not even your parents. You just keep it inside. God said, open your mouth, you can speak to me. Now you can speak to me. You can speak to me. And God delivered him from all this demon possess, whatever that possessed, the spirit of grief, the spirit of anger, whatever that has stifled your true voice. God is going to liberate that. You can find your voice in Christ. And he's able to speak and he gained that freedom. How wonderful you can praise God with your voice, like what we did today. So it's such 34 verses, there are seven things that happens. Jesus is a very busy man. The paralyzed man, Matthew, the tax collector, teaching about the new and old parable, the wineskin, heal the sick woman, raise the dead girl, heal the blind, heal the mute. All this Jesus has done within that short span of the chapter. So if you summarize this, this is what Jesus did. He gave mercy. He write to those that were rejected, say, you're accepted. He write to those, he wrote on the books the life story of the blind man. I have mercy on you. God has mercy on you. You cry to God for mercy. Yes, you have mercy. God is willing to give you mercy. To Matthew, he restored the dignity. No one wants to dine with you. I come to your house. Those are demon-possessed. God set them free. The dead are beginning to come alive. Is there anything too difficult for God to do? Any of those things today, we look at it, is impossible for the church to do it. But God can do it. God can. Do you believe miracle can happen? Do you believe that when you share, you are able to write what God's well-thought meaning of life and purpose into the life of others? Your friend, your colleagues, your classmates, your neighbor, even your relative who don't know Christ. Write into their book. You know why? Because Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Why Jesus went to all the towns and villages? Just to do all these things. Do all these things. That's how we are listed. This all. When you go to all the places, what are you doing? What are the Ubon team doing? What are we doing in Upper Boon Keng? What are you doing in your cell group or your cell outreach? Teaching, proclaiming, healing. And he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. And then he says, what? The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. But today, we really want to thank God. Let me ask you, from verse 1 to verse 34, all the action that taken, who was the one that doing it? Who? How many people doing it? How many caused the miracle to happen? How many? One person. O-M-O. Jesus Christ. He touched the blind. He raised the girl. He called Matthew. All was done by Jesus. Today is Jesus with us. He is with us, not in person. He went up to with the Heavenly Father, but he sent his spirit with his church. That's why he said that the harvest are plentiful, the workers are few, because he looked at himself, only I doing it. He's with his disciple. The disciple is not the one there who healed. He's the one who healed. He's the one who speak the parable. And now it's no longer who's going to take over. If you read on in the book of Acts, you realize that when the Spirit fall onto the church, fall on the church went up. It's not just Jesus alone. Now you have 12, you have 120. Same agape, we have almost 300 people. Each one of us can carry the Word of God, can carry the grace, can really embody the grace and the love of God for our neighbor. And we can really step out and be a blessing to our community. So today, God is inviting every one of us to be a co-writer. He's going to write through us. He's going to use every one of us. We will be his feet, his hands, to touch, to feel, to walk the town and the villages, to visit the household, to bring about life, to bring about acceptance, to bring about light, hope, comfort into all these people's life. God is going to use our hand to write into the life story of others. And God is calling you and calling me. Would you want to be the co-writer with God into people's life? We thank God that in September that we have this neighborhood cleaning day, and we have the whole group of us going there. And then this is our super cleaning team. I never see people do housework so happy one. They're going there to do cleaning, but they're so happy to go out. And then you see that our sister, even with white hair, still scrubbing very hard, make sure that everything is clean. And then they're not doing treasure hunt, by the way. Okay, they are cleaning up the place and try to see what are the things that they can throw away and tidy up the whole kitchen. And this one is Mr. Koh's house. This is just one side. You take picture of the other side, but equally bad. And this is such a big task, we employ our chief engineer to survey. So a chief engineer survey and come up with a plan. And this is the plan. recruit men of valor of all walks of life. You can join in and clean up the house. So they came and cleaned up the house. Okay? And they don't do it once. They don't do it twice. They do it three times, three consecutive Saturday. They were at Mr. Koh's house cleaning up the place for them. And Mr. Koh was very happy. And he came to church every day. He's very happy. And this is Mr. Koh. Okay? So, see? They're so happy to serve. All happy face. Not just happy face. They even enjoy their service. 我们讲工作不忘娱乐. You look at this. Wow, steady. So, when we singing, take the... Even the owner was a bit surprised. How come these people come to my house, do household so happy one? How come I do household not so happy? Right? Look at that. And we have this pasar malam or this flea market. We just give away free thing. What are we conveying to the people? The world is telling us there's no free thing on earth. There's no free lunch. But on the day we really give up something free, as long as you come, you will have. Isn't it what Jesus said? Come unto me, and you will have rest. You will have life. Come. So even to a simple gesture of this, does it cost us much? It doesn't cost anything. Most of us just donate things from our storeroom. We don't use. We thank God because it helped us to clear some space. We can buy more. 11-11 coming. Free. We are telling them they're free. Just the very beginning. Through a simple action, there's something free. The grace of God. Salvation. It costs God greatly, but it's free for us. Come and you will receive. So as long as the neighbor, I know that, not here, water was being assigned to be the scout. Go through every floor, to tell them, come down and collect. It's free. I think he went to A floor, he bolat now. He told me, bolat. So I sent Jia Hui and Xing Xian. Continue. There are altogether 360 households in Block 19. 360 households. Every household, not knock. There's something free for every one of you. Come. Isn't that what Jesus said? Come and taste that the Lord is good. Come, it's free for you. The love of God, the grace of God. And you know, we don't just, you know, sharing gospel and testimony. It's not just for the adults. Even the kids can involve. They're involved. Everyone can involve. Everyone can participate in this great endeavor that God has given to His church. Right? So besides this giving, cleaning, we also have a group of people that go visiting some of the residents. Okay, you and I are here. And then talk to them and share with them and pray with them. And then even that there is a household, there's kids here to play with the kids, to entertain the kids. So for some family, again, this particular family, this you can tell that she's quite frail, quite weak, sick. So Li Kai Chuan Tao was praying for her. And then there's this sister who called up and said that I want to become Christian a few weeks ago. Then we say, oh, young Christian can, but no. Then we talk to her, and then Silan, Jamie talk to her, say that you have to remove the idols from the house. She said, okay, we fix on that Saturday, the cleaning day, we'll go there and throw away the idols. He said, okay. So we prepare all the barang-barang, la, hammer, la, plastic bag, la, we'll go there and reach there. Huh, where's the idol? Oh, 我昨天丢掉了。他自己丢掉丢进垃圾桶. I'll share in the second service that some of our members, church members, who they're not even touched their idol. Hey, 牧师你来我家, clear 掉这个, 你来 clear. 我不敢 clear 这个东西. 这个刚刚信主而已啊. And he's not fearful, because he know whom he has believed. What a great faith. Just like Jesus said, oh, I never see such a great faith in Israel. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. What a great faith. What a great faith of this woman. Not learned, never been to school. But she has great faith. And then May this year, we have officially started a DG, a cell group in Block 19. And Kui Soon and all. And it's very cute, you know, this group. I went there to join them one Wednesday afternoon. It was very black. It was a very cloudy day. Halfway, suddenly it began to rain. Then one of the member auntie said, "Aiya, 我忘记收衣服，他就走走走，脱鞋走掉了。然后突然间有一个人想想想，哎呦，糟糕，刚才我买的鱼网放去哪里？他就跑掉了。Very unstructured, but very free. Not they don't have discipline, but you can really enjoy the freedom that they have within the community. No one judge anyone. They go and they don't, they come back. Okay? Now I just want to invite Brother Elijah to come forward to share the testimony.
Hello, a bit shaking here, but I think it's the aircon. Yeah, thanks for laughing, make me calm down a bit, yeah. Yeah, I can stop laughing already, thanks. I think following the bullet point, I won't try to keep it short. I think firstly, why did I get involved? I think the purpose of this, getting involved in this, right, firstly, I think is to acquaint with younger youths back then, also to know them better. And also, I guess, in a better way to influence, okay? Not that I'm a good influence, but that because we have Jesus Christ in us, that we are able to influence and encourage each other. Yeah, I think, and secondly, this bullet point is to go forth as a command from our Lord, right, to make disciples of all nations. And also, what we have read earlier in Matthew 9, right, Jesus had compassion. So, and it's also to partake and respond to God's invitation in his good works, rather than our own doing, and that, you know, by feeling good and etc. Yeah, so again, back to that Matthew 9 earlier, if we also recall that, you know, in the whole of Jesus' ministry, right, most of it, right, it's never about doing a good work or staying still right there where we are. Rather, it's also how Jesus, you know, was always on the move, going to towns, you know, healing and performing miracles, you know. And I think on this, you know, dropping also what he had on hand just to save a little girl, right? And being the comfort to the broken and also those who are despised by society. It was not aligned to the message, okay? Yeah, it's my takeaway. So, yeah. But at the same time, I guess it's also a reminder for us to be aware that it's not doing about good works. Yeah, surely it's not. It's about how God is working in all these things. So what did I do? I think simply just three things, discard and shift items, clean house, and then ad hoc duties as assigned by supervisor. So in this, then you may wonder, you know, then you, I talk so much, then what do I see? So I think for me, it's about, the first bullet point, again, it's not about, you know, what we can do or what we have or what we can contribute. It's simply what God has called us to do, which is, again, to go forth, right, and to care for people. You know, and then if we see a need, if you see a need, also for me, myself, then the question is, then what next, okay? Then, you know, if we say, and then again, you know, coming to this third bullet point, we are really blessed to have to come to know God early, okay, to live in his salvation, grace, and also mercy of our God who sent his only son to die for our sins, you know, so that we may not just prosper and live a blessed life, okay, eat, drink, and marry, but to be made right before God as blameless, you know, for what we have done against him, and furthermore, settle us into his goodness. And so how wonderful is this gift, which breathes a new life, you know, into us, and we are free from Satan's pullback, you know. So, and this is what I believe that God also wants us to do for those who have yet to know him. What impact has this incident or maybe this event on me? I think circumstances do not define who God is. It's rather the position that we choose where God is in our lives. So, for example, in the house of the people, you may think that, wow, very cham, very dirty, or sometimes I also cramp my feet, you know, because too dirty. But ultimately, I think because the love of God is so great that, you know, this is the reason why we do it. Also, we are not called to serve each other, but we are also called to serve those who have yet to know God, and that is anyone, you know, be it people who are, I don't know, maybe some Muslim friend here or whatever, etc. Yeah, because there's no judgment here, right? And to make known of God's heart for his creation. Yeah, and again, earlier back to that, the harvest is plentiful. Don't live in denial. Be diligent to harvest it with all your effort. So I don't know, it might not be even be in church, might be in your own life, people who you encounter, have a conversation with. It's always an opportunity where you can not do good works, but rather, you know, you can encourage and inspire people to know Jesus lah, through your life as well and your conversations. So last one, what words of encouragement do I have for you? Every day is a day where we can serve. There's never a good time to start lah. I think that's one thing I learned now a bit old already also, serious. Yeah, so she stopped laughing at me. Yeah, there will never be a good time lah, so don't be misled by that. That idea, you know, wait until I get this one, that one lah. Just work on it lah, okay? Because God's timing, it will not be the same as yours. Once you get this at this certain stage, I think 5 past already lah, God is like away ahead of you already. Yeah, and you missed out on that goodness lah, to see God in His work. Mm. And I think always consider, you know, when we always want to do, right? Also consider lah, you know, what God has done for us first. And not so much about what we want to do, but consider what God has done for us, where His heart is, you know, and do it with a cheerful heart, lor. And of course, with faith, lah, in Him, and yeah, we've tried to not to grumble, lah. Yeah. Then I think do it together as a cell, or simply with someone you may not know, but you know intends to do so. I think yeah. So if you like want to go, then I might, you can call me, lah. I think I might go also. Yeah, as in ask me first, lah. Then if I got time, lah. But if not, then I will just like direct you to. Yeah. I think that's how we come together as a church to really come as a community, that to serve others lah. Not in our own needs, but rather in God lah. Yeah. So last one, I think it's quite important as well. You know, we always see that, you know, oh God give me, you know, what do you do? What do you see? What do you etc. And I think lastly is just if you want to know what God sees, okay, this is the opportunity. And you will really definitely see once you put your feet into it. Yeah, that's all for me. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Elijah, for the encouragement. I'll just take a few minutes to just close up the message. God is looking for a co-writer. I just want to share with you a testimony of this lady. I've not even met her in person. But she is the younger sister of this sister. Her name is Zheng Zhenhua, which is the one just now you saw in the picture who hang the cross on the wall. So she's the one that removed her own idol. And she has a sister live in the Guanghuizhao, you know, the Serangoon Road, that nursing home, for many years because of polio. So when we visited, so when she accepted Christ, actually the younger sister asked her, because she was sharing with her, said, recently there are people that are visiting my family. They are very nice people, they are Christian. You know, they were thinking about it. Then the younger sister said, He said, 大姐, 你去信耶稣啊? 所以他就这样, 既然我的妹妹也赞成我信耶稣, 他就打电话给斯兰说, 他要信耶稣。 It's so simple. 他信了耶稣过后, he said that my sister also need to accept Christ. So they went to visit her at the Guanghuizhao nursing home. You know, sometimes she can just speak a little bit incoherently, but generally she's okay. And then she can sing a song called 野地的花. 他们就问她, 你怎么会学这首歌? 她会背耶。 她说我八岁九岁的时候, when I was 8 and 9, someone brought me to a church near Bukit Merah, and someone taught me this song. And she's probably in her 50s, 60s, and she still remembered this song when she was 8 and 9 years old. And then someone asked her, 如意姐妹问她, 你为什么要信耶稣? You know what's her answer? And this answer really shook me. 你为什么信耶稣? 因为耶稣接受我。 Because Christ accepted me. Wow. I thought this is Bible come alive. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. So God accepted her. That's why now she accepts Jesus. In the book of John 1:12 says, yet to all who did receive Him or who did accept Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. I've not seen this sister yet, but she also wanted to get baptized. So we're having a meeting, say, whether should we know whether this and that. But from all this, I was telling the pastors that, yes, I believe she really know what the gospel is about. If I ask you, why you believe Jesus? You say, Jesus died for me. Jesus do this, Jesus do that. So, Jesus can do all the things. For you, the most important thing that He accepted us just as we are. And she got it. A learned person know the truth in her heart. Who will stop her from baptism? No one. So we will baptize her this coming Christmas. Praise God. Just from this, just through all this, you begin to see that God works. And the answer that they give you baffles you. How do they know? They know because God is real in them. Today I pray that we will all be the co-writer of God. Like some of us, go out there and share the gospel. And you see that God really surprises with His marvelous work among the people. God is working. He's calling for more workers. So we pray to the Lord that God will send forth more workers. And the church are His workers. And we are to step out. And with His grace and love, we will pen beautiful God's purpose, meaning, into the life of others. Shall we arise? Shall we rise? And then let's sing this song. Thank you for the cross in preparation for the communion.